yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. I want to deal with the shield of faith. It is said and believed that in those days, in the olden days when you were recruited into the army, one of the things they have to give you and is mandatory is a shield. They give you a sword. Now you fight with the sword, but as you attack with the sword, there will always be a reaction as you attack with the sword, and you always need a defensive armor to defend yourself, because without the shield, you can be accessed by the enemy. It is said that one of the reasons why Goliath fell was because when David weighed him, he saw that the man didn't have his shield on. His shield was given to a young man that was standing by him. And he said, I don't even need a sword to attack this guy. Just use a stone and I'll get him, because he doesn't have his shield on. And Saul's shield also was cast down by the time he went down. So shields are very, very, very important. Amen. So I want you to turn your Bibles with me. But before we go to our anchor scripture, we want to make a declaration of faith. We want to make a declaration of faith. We want to confess our faith in God's word. And we want to look at Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. And we want to declare the 10th to the 12th verse of Jeremiah, the 20th chapter.
For I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side.
Fear on every side.
Report, say they.
I know that a lot of you are dealing with all kinds of fears that is coming from every side, and all kinds of reports and rumors, rumor mongering, speculations of all kinds of things are traveling all over the place about you and I. Go ahead.
Report, say they, and we will report it.
And they say, we'll tell it, we'll publish it, we'll make it known. Media reports, media scandals, public ridicule, all kinds of things are being put out there about you and I. Go ahead.
All my familiars watched for my halting, saying.
They are just waiting to see us hurt, to hear some bad news about us.
They say, adventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him.
They want to prevail. They want an occasion where they can have an advantage over us.
And we shall take our revenge of him.
They want to take a revenge on us. They believe that we are the cause or the reason for their problems. So they want something to go wrong with us, to see us hurt or cry. Then they will be happy. But if they are waiting for us to cry, for them to be happy, they will never be happy. That happiness will never happen. They are denied permanently of that happiness. If they are waiting for us to cry, for them to be happy, then they will never be happy. Because that day will never come.
But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one.
This is what I want. I want everybody to stand, lift up your right hand, make that pledge right now. Just stand, lift up your right hand, and make that declaration right now. For the Lord is with
me. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one.
As a mighty, terrible one.
Therefore my persecutors shall stumble.
And they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed. For they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Do you believe that? Shout yes. Now I want you to keep saying it until when you see your greatest enemy, they don't mean anything anymore. Because you know the Lord is with you as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, they are going down. They are going down. They will disappear one of these days. And we'll still be here. Mark what I'm telling you. It's a matter of time. Say, I hear you. Madala kahatasaya. Amen? It's very, very important. You must believe it. You must believe it. Can we... Let's quote verse 11 again. Everybody, one more time. Just verse 11, one more time. One, two, go.
But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten.
It means that they will never get it right. You know, when you keep advising somebody, like a brother, a son, a sister, and you keep advising them to do the right thing over and over again, and they keep doing the same, they keep on making mistakes, it's an indication that they are cursed. They are under a curse. And they are cursed with error to keep on erring. And their seed will keep erring. Because the Bible says, he that observes lying vanities, it means that if you reject sound counseling, you forfeit your own messes. So there are people living in the church that will not listen to counsel because they have power or money or connection or influence. You forfeit your mercy, and it's a matter of time, you'll be drowned. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. It means that you never get it right, and you never be surrounded by the right people. You always be surrounded by people who will lead you astray. You never get it right because you are under a curse. Let's begin our journey. Please be seated. Clap your hands, shout, do something. Now let's begin our journey by going to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, reading from the 10th to the 16th verse. Thank you.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all,
you see, he said, after the righteousness, the whole armor, and all those important, you know, defensive armor that I've talked about, he said, above all, take the shield of faith. Because the shield of faith is a door. The shield of faith is what determines what you block and what comes in. Are you hearing me? It's like a door. You shut and you open. Now, where is my sword? What comes in? If you consider your pain and betrayals, and you consider yourself and your immediate family, you will never sow, and you will withhold what God has given you for the benefit of others, and one day you will answer to God.
Like Archbishop Duncan Williams on Facebook and receive inspiring prayers and messages every day. Log on today and see you online.
David said, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver and the cedars of Lebanon for the building of the house of my God.
Did you know that there's an Action Chapel near you? Wherever you are, stay connected to your family by logging on to www.actionchapel.net and click on branches. You can also watch all of our services live by logging on to www.actionchapel.tv. Action Chapel, welcome home.
You see, the problem with church people that we don't understand is we think we can just attack the enemy without a reaction. Anytime you attack the enemy, he reacts. Are you hearing me, somebody? He does what? So if you take your sword like this, Bishop, come this way. If you take your sword like this, and you attack somebody like this, they will also come back at you. When they come back at you, you need the shield to block them. Are you hearing me? So you block them and you go after them again. Then you block and you go after them. So you need the shield. Now, Oboda, throw your key at me. Hold this. Throw your key. Throw it. You see? So I have my shield. So you throw a fiery dart at me, I block it. You know what a fiery dart is? You will die prematurely. You will never make it. You are a failure. You will never marry. You have an accident. You'll be poor the rest of your life. You will never be healed. This sickness will kill you. They are all fiery darts. You need a shield to block it. Tell somebody, block it. I got on my shield. Amen. So he said, above all, do what? Take it the shield of faith.
Wherewith you shall be able to quench.
Shall be able to what?
Quench all.
Not some, but all the fiery darts of the enemy. We'll go ahead and see what the shield of faith means and is. Now remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and doubt and fear and unbelief comes by hearing from the devil. And anytime you are afraid, anytime you doubt, is an indication of the absence of faith. Say fear, doubt, unbelief is the absence of faith. So faith, doubt, fear, and unbelief can live together. They don't stay together. So whenever you are afraid, whenever you doubt God, or you doubt your faith, or you doubt yourself, it's an indication of absence of faith. Now, you can feed your faith and starve your fear and starve your doubts. Or you feed your fear, feed your doubt, and starve your faith by what you keep hearing and by what you keep seeing. And by the people you hang with. I'm telling you. You know, I was thinking about somebody the other day, and I was feeling a little bit sad because it was somebody I really cared for, and I felt like I had lost somebody. But then suddenly the Spirit of God began to remind me of certain traces of this individual, and I realized that I had to thank God that it's a deliverance for the person not being in my life. Because the person being in my life drains my energy. The person is a parasite, and the person is a vehicle, is a satanic vehicle that keeps on feeding certain aspects of my life that I don't like. Some things that I have given up and I've walked away from, he's been in my life, always bring it back. And so he not being in my life shuts a particular door to my past. And I never realized, and sometimes we have to thank God, not only for those in our life, but also for those who are out of our lives. Are you hearing me, somebody? The other day, I was watching CNN, and I saw all these dead bodies. It was about 11 something in the night before I went to bed. And I was watching CNN. They were showing all these dead bodies or some building somewhere in Asia, Bangladesh, that fell and everything. So I said, why should I be watching dead bodies being carried before I go to bed? So I switched to Al Jazeera, and when I went there too, they were showing dead bodies. I went to BBC, dead bodies. I just shut the whole thing down. And I said, I don't need all this negative news. Not before you go to bed. You see, because if you are not careful, the eye is a door. And you open yourself up, and things will begin to get at you. And you start having all kinds of nightmare and dreaming things you don't have to dream, because the last thing you did before you went to bed was to feed your mind, your subconsciousness, with bad music, rap music, crazy music, or with dead body pictures. So you have to be careful of the pictures you watch, the music you listen to, the things you listen to, the people you talk to before you go to bed. I don't just talk to anybody before I go to bed. I'm very, very selective. Because if you are the type that when I talk to you before I go to bed, you reinforce my doubt or fear or anxiety about any situation, then when I talk to you, I'm starving my faith, and I am feeding my doubt and I'm feeding my fears. So I refuse to speak to you, because faith comes by hearing and hearing from God, and fear and doubt comes by hearing and hearing from the devil or agents of the devil. So you have to be careful the people you surround yourself with. So sometimes you see some people are in my life and suddenly you don't see them anymore. And sometimes it's not the devil that took them away. Sometimes it's God himself removing them out of my life because they are not helping me. I'm just enduring. Do you know there are certain people in your life, you just endure having a relationship with them. Whenever you were fine, doing well, very confident, and suddenly somebody came and talked to you or gave you a revelation, and after that, you were so troubled, disturbed, lost your peace and your joy. But what you heard is not God. It's the enemy. I'm telling you. Or you haven't yet developed faith to a level so strong that you can hear some things and it doesn't move you. I'm telling you. You know, nobody can intimidate me. I don't care who you know, what your connection is, what money you have, what power you have, and whatever spirit you are working with. You can kill others, but you can't touch me. You can't touch me. Because you don't know what I'm standing upon. You don't know what I'm standing upon. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all the ground is sinking sand. Let's move on. Hebrews 11:1. Let's move fast. Hebrews 11:1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So faith is what? Now, you see, whenever somebody says, it shall be well, that means I'm talking about a future issue. But when I say it is well, then it is now. So when I say it shall be well, that is not faith, that is hope. When I say it is well, it is now. So we have to bring our faith from the future into present. If we want to see some manifestations right now, we have to stop saying it shall be and say it is. It is. It is. Because faith is what? Now. Faith is now. Say faith is now.
Faith is now.
So it is well, not it shall be. Because what you say is what manifests. What you say is what happens. See, I hear you.
Did you know that there's an Action Chapel near you? Wherever you are, stay connected to your family by logging on to www.actionchapel.net and click on Branches. You can also watch all of our services live by logging on to www.actionchapel.tv. Action Chapel. Welcome home.
Now, there are different kinds or types of faith. Let's see some of the kinds or types of faith. Come with me. Matthew 6:30. Matthew 6:30.
Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
So there is little faith. Let's move on. Little faith. Matthew 8:26.
And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?
So you see, anytime you hear little faith, it has to either do with fear or doubt. Little faith. So there are people in the church who have little faith about everything. Little faith about obeying God. Little faith about submission. Little faith about blessing the house of God. Little faith when it comes to tithing. Little faith when it comes to believing God for protection, for peace, for joy, for long life. Little faith in everything. Little faith or small faith. Let's come to Matthew 14:31.
And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
You see, Peter here again. Little faith, little faith, little faith, little faith. Let's move on. Romans 4:19.
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead.
So you see, we have what? Little faith, and we have what? Weak faith. Say weak faith. Weak faith. There are people in church, they are weak in faith. They are in church, they speak in tongues, but they are weak in faith. They are weak in faith. And we'll teach you how you can move from being weak in faith to strong in faith. Let's move on. Romans 4:20. Romans 4:20.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
You see, strong in faith, weak in faith, little faith, weak faith, strong faith. 25 years promise, no show. Nothing was happening. But he was not weak in faith towards God, but was what? Strong in faith, giving God what? Glory. And that is why Job said, though he slays me, yet will I what? I'll trust him. I'll serve him no matter what. So strong in faith means it doesn't matter what the situation is. I'm going to give God glory anyway, because I know that God is capable. The Bible said, faithful is he who has promised, for he also will do it. And the Bible said, God is able to deliver us to the uttermost. Are you hearing me, somebody? And the Bible said, he who delivers in the past, who does deliver, in whom we believe that he shall yet deliver. So my deliverance is threefold. I have been delivered. I am being delivered. I shall be delivered from everything ahead of me. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I believe that. Say yes. Strong in faith, not weak. There are folks in the church, they are weak in faith. Any small thing, they give up serving God. They give up coming to church. I don't want to come to church anymore. They give up their commitment. They stop tithing. They stop loving God. They break relationship with God, his house, and the servant of God. They sit in church, but they have no commitment to anything. They don't have a heart for the things of God anymore. They become weak in their faith. We need people strong in faith. See, I hear you. Matthew 8:10. Matthew 8:10.
When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
So we have great faith, little faith, weak in faith, strong faith, great faith. Matthew 15:28.
Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Another great faith here. Another great. Look at the attitude of people with great faith. Nothing moves them. They are not offended. They are not discouraged. They don't get easily hurt. Nothing offends them. Jesus literally insulted this woman. Literally, you know, ridiculed her in public and said, you are a dog. You are a dog. Your value is that of the value of a dog. That's what you are. She said, I understand I'm a dog. But you can say whatever you want to say. You just can't deny me of mercy. Hallelujah, somebody. And Jesus said, my God, this is nothing but a great faith. People with great faith are not easily discouraged nor deterred. They are relentless. They fix their heart and face as a flint and won't turn back like the lion till they get what they want. Hallelujah. See, I hear you. Come with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, and be strong.
Again.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, and be strong.
Steadfast faith. Somebody say steadfast faith. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19.
Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck.
You see, shipwreck faith. Shipwreck faith. You can make your faith shipwreck. Now, Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
This is what we call the God kind of faith. Somebody say the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5.
Surely he has borne our grief.
He has borne our grief. Now, everything he bore, you and I don't have to bear it.
Yes, sir.
Whatever he carried, we don't have to carry it. Whatever he went through, you see, he went through some things for you and I, so we don't have to go through the same thing. He suffered some things, so we don't have to suffer what he suffered. He didn't have to do it. We had to be subjected to that. He went through for us, so we don't have to go through it. So there's no reason why we should go through some things. So Jesus said, I went through all of this for you, so you don't have to go through it. Say, I hear you. Go ahead.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Carried our sorrow. So you don't have to deal with sorrow, because he dealt with sorrow for us. So even though sorrow may come every now and then, you have to be aware that you don't have to accept it. You don't have to live with it. You have to rebuke it. You have to rise above it. It is not your portion. Say, it's not my portion. Go ahead.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
That is public humiliation, rejection. Go ahead.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
So we don't have to be subjected to all kinds of wounds and bruises. We can rise above them. We can refuse it. We can reject it. We can interrupt it. We can block it, prohibit it by the knowledge of what he has done. You see, Satan's advantage and success in our life is a result of our ignorance of the word of God. His success and advantage over you and I is our ignorance. The lack of knowledge is what gives him advantage over us. Go ahead.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
If we were healed, then we are healed. If we were, then we are. Now, if we are healed, why are we sick? It means we are not sick. So what are we dealing with? We are dealing with a demon, an illegal tenant who must be evicted by all scripture technicalities, and violence must be evicted. Divine eviction, command and attack, uproot and destroy. Send it out in the name of Jesus. Don't accept it as a sickness, because we were healed, so we are. And if we are, then we cannot be sick. And therefore, that thing is not a sickness, but a demon and an attack. So you must react, rebel, fight it, and attack it. Romans 10, 8 to 9.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee.
The word is nigh thee. Go ahead.
Even in thy mouth.
It is in your mouth.
And in thy heart.
And in thy heart.
That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
So it doesn't matter how much you believe God. It doesn't matter how much you believe in prosperity, how much you believe in protection, how much you believe in long life. If you don't confess it, you don't have it. Yeah. A true story in Nigeria, there was this Christian brother written a book. He was traveling, and the plane, there was a problem, and the pilot announced and said that, ladies and gentlemen, we are no more in control, and it's like right now, there's no remedy. The plane was going down. And he fastened his seatbelt and said, he has given his angels charge over me. The plane can go, everybody can die, but not me. And the plane went down, and he was the only one who survived. No scratch on his body. He refused. He refused to imagine himself dying. Tell somebody, I refuse to die. I cannot die. Tell somebody, I cannot. Say, I cannot die. Say, don't even imagine it. It can't happen to me. I cannot die. You can look at me any way you want to look at me, but whether you like it or not, the enemy wants you to die. There are people who wishes for you to die, and you shouldn't see yourself dying, because it's not your time. There are too many things you haven't yet done for you to start thinking about dying. Don't even imagine it. Don't accept it. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know, another true story about a gentleman who, he had two cars, and God told him to give one to the church. And he and his wife had issues with it. They have to argue over it. Then after he gave it to the church, the Lord came again and said, what I want to do for you, you need to do something better than what you have done. Give the other car to the church. Hey! The wife said, my husband has lost it. And she left him. Then after a lot of fight and conflict, some of these things can create fights. Even over giving and tithe and offering, it can create a lot of fights. Very interestingly here, the guy gave the two cars to the church. And they fought over it, and the wife left him. Then a few months after, God spoke to a multi-millionaire in Australia, gave him the guy's name and his address, to give him a private jet. And he flew the private jet from Australia, came to Nigeria, find the address and everything, and discovered the guy. And then the Lord said, the guy, he doesn't have money to maintain the private jet. So give him money. You will maintain the private jet and also give him money to do business. So he gave him private jet, gave him money to do business, and then also took responsibility to maintain the private jet. That is the kind of breakthrough I'm waiting for. The wife came back. Bishop said, what happened to the wife? She came back. When the private jet came, she came back to apologize and said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You see, but that tells you the level of the faith of that person. Maroko Shatabaha. Psalm 107 verse 2.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord keep quiet.
No.
Let the redeemed of the Lord shut his mouth and hold his peace.
No.
But let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say so.
That is how your identity is known and declared. It is by saying so that your identity is known. Who you are. Your passport is your identity. Your confession is your passport. It is your confession of faith that determines your access. Let the redeemer of the Lord, who he has what?
Redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
What? The hand of the enemy. I am not in the hand of the enemy, so he can't determine the outcome of my life. I am the redeemer of the Lord. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb out of the hand of the enemy. You can't determine the outcome of my life or the circumstances of my life. It doesn't matter where you think you stand today and the power you wield. It's just a matter of time. We have seen great people like the Gaddafis, Mubarak and the others, and the Hitlers of our time, of the 40s of our days. They rose and they disappeared. Turn to somebody and say, take it easy, take it easy. Tell them, I know you are very connected and I know you are loaded, but take it easy. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. You have to learn to say who you are. I am the redeemer of the Lord. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and therefore the enemy will not exact on me. You have no power to determine the outcome of my life. You did not redeem me. I was not purchased by you, but by the blood of the Lamb. And so I deny you of power. I deny you of the authority to determine the outcome of my life. Your predictions will come to a halt. Your expectations will be disappointed, and your everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. You will always err, and you will always make mistakes. Even in your devices and in your plans to attack me, you will always err. Second Corinthians 4:13. Quickly, my time is
up. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak.
How many of you believe something? How many, come on, wave at me. You believe something. How many of you believe something? How many of you believe God? You believe the word of God? You believe that Jesus became poor that you might become rich? How many of you believe that? You believe that he became poor that you might become rich? Then you cannot be poor. Say, I cannot be poor. Say, I cannot be poor. Say, right now, the truth is that there's no money in my pocket, but I cannot be poor. You know, let me rephrase it. Tell somebody, the fact is that right now, I have no money in my pocket, but the truth is that I'm loaded. The fact says I'm broke, but the truth says I'm loaded. Now, whose report will you believe?
Did you know that there's an Action Chapel near you? Wherever you are, stay connected to your family by logging on to www.actionchapel.net and click on Branches. You can also watch all of our services live by logging on to www.actionchapel.tv. Action Chapel, welcome home.
Matthew 12 and 37. Matthew 12 and 37.
For by thy words thou art justified. And by thy word thou shalt be condemned.
So you are justified and condemned by what you say. Who condemns you? The enemy? Your enemies? But who? By thy
words.
You are what?
Justified.
And what?
Condemned.
So it has to do with what you are saying. Whether you are justified or condemned has to do with what you are saying. I refuse to be implicated in the name of the Lord Jesus. I refuse to be a victim of any projection or manipulations of the powers of the dark kingdom. I refuse to be taken captive. I refuse to be at the mercy of my enemies. I refuse to be disadvantaged in the name of, I refuse to beg. I will not beg. I will not be disadvantaged. I will not be disregarded. I refuse to be disregarded. I refuse. I will stay relevant. I refuse to be irrelevant. You may not like me, but you will need me one of these days. God will create a situation for you to need me. Oh, I will be needed. I will be needed. You will need me. It's just a matter of time. You think you don't need me right now? It's just a matter of time. You're gonna need me one of these days. God is going to create a crisis and a divine occasion and will give me an advantage, and you will need me one of these days. It's just a matter of time. Say yes. Proverbs 6 and 2.
Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth.
Thou art what? Snared by the words of your enemy. But by the words of what? Your mouth, and you are what? Taken. The word taken means you are arrested, captured, apprehended by your own words. So you got to be careful of the words you speak. I'm telling you. I refuse to speak fear. Because you see, fear is a projection of the enemy, and he sends it to you, shows you a picture to make you confess it with your own mouth. Because when he says it, it can't have effect. So he has to work you, manipulate you, make you afraid to the point where you say his wish. And when you say it from your mouth, because your mouth is the vehicle which condemns or justifies you. So when he can get your own mouth to speak what he desires for you, then your mouth, which is the vehicle, has executed his desire. So I refuse to speak my fear. I speak the opposite of my fear. I refuse to be afraid. I am not afraid. I will not be moved. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. Somebody lift up your hand. Shout yes. I don't care what the situation is. The Bible says, when I walk in the midst of trouble, the Lord will revive me. In the midst of trouble, the Lord will do what? Revive me. Tell somebody, I'm being revived. I'm being revived. Amen. Come with me to Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. Hosea 14, 2. Fast.
Take with you words and tend to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips.
You see, so here, God is saying, take words. When Ezekiah received a word from God, the prophet came and said, God said, you die. He didn't say, prophet, pray for me. He went to God himself and he took words and went to God for himself. And after he spoke to God, words, then God went back to the prophet and said, go back to him and give him a fresh word and a different word from the word I gave you. You have to learn when you hear from the prophets to go to God for yourself and leave them alone. You call them, they don't respond. You call them bad people. And you, so some of you, your faith is not in God. It's in the prophet. It's in a man. Prophets are men. They make mistakes. They go to the bathroom. They eat. I have to say it. I want you to see the graphic of it. We have serious problems. And it's because people are small in faith, weak in faith, don't want to grow in the things of God. don't want to develop a personal relationship with God. Everything they want it to be done for them. Spiritual laziness and indiscipline. Go to God for yourself. Amen. Psalm 103 verse 20. Psalm 103 verse 20.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments.
Underline the word that do his commandments. Go ahead, look at the next
hearkening
one.
Unto the voice of his
hearkening
word.
Unto the voice of his word. So hear me. The angels can't do his commandment if we don't confess the word. For them to hear the voice of the word, they don't go to work. So the only way the angels go to work, Hebrews 14 talks about the fact that he talks about angels who work for the heirs of salvation. So that the only way angels go to work, whether to protect us, whether to fight for us, avenge us, bring finances and whatever, it is when we confess what the word of God says and they hear the voice of the word that comes out of our mouth, then immediately they are under obligation and it is mandatory that they go to work immediately and obey his command.
Yes, sir.
Nothing happens until we speak. It's not automatic. You have to confess the word. And it's hard work. You have to come. I have to take up the shield of faith. I have to declare all kinds of scriptures. I'm telling you. I'm very, very wild. I'm wild outside the pulpit. I'm telling you. Yesterday we were praying and we're just three. And one of the guys saw when we were praying and I took up the declaration. He saw as we multiply into plenty of people all over the place when I was doing the declaration, because something was trying to intimidate me. And I said, you are joking. You can't intimidate me. When you try to intimidate me, you cause the lion in me to roar. You see, when you are nice to me, is the lamb you see. But when you provoke me and you try to hurt me and you try to attack me and you try to intimidate me, that is where the lion inside of me roars and want to devour. That is where all scriptures that have disappeared, all kinds of scriptures that have disappeared, that I haven't used them for a long time, suddenly they all begin to come alive. Some very, very dangerous scriptures. I was talking to Paul Adefarasi some time ago when Nigeria was sitting in the car from the Sheraton, and he was going through some things, and I gave him some scriptures, and he said, Papa, I can't touch these scriptures, they are too hot. Very, very dangerous scripture. And it's in the Bible. And it is where you are and what you are dealing with and the kind of enemy you are contending with that gives you the authorization to use those kind of scriptures. Colossians 1:16-18.
For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth.
All things, good or bad, created by him. Go ahead.
Visible and invisible.
Visible or invisible.
Whether they be thrones.
Thrones.
Or dominions.
Dominions.
Or principalities.
Or principalities.
Or powers.
Or powers.
All things were created by him.
And for him.
And for him.
Go ahead.
And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
He has preeminence of all things and over all things. Let's download it and finish it with one more scripture. Amen. Colossians 2:10.
And ye are complete in him. Which is the head of all principality and power.
The head of what? All. What? Principality and power. So take it easy. Because my Lord and my Master is the head of all principalities and powers. And in the name of the Master, if you fool with me, I'll go to the top. Because I have access. I'm telling you. That's why when there are political parties, new parties, and government comes, people who have access to the top man become very powerful in town. Because they can go to the president's bedroom. Listen, I have access to the throne room, to the cabinet of the head of all principalities and power. And in his name, I exercise vetoing powers. If you consider your pain and betrayals, and you consider yourself and your immediate family, you will never sow and you will withhold what God has given you for the benefit of others, and one day you will answer to God.
Like Archbishop Duncan Williams on Facebook and receive inspiring prayers and messages every day. Log on today and see you online.
David said, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver, and the cedars of Lebanon for the building of the house of my God. If there's any boast, let us boast in the Lord. And stop allowing people to just intimidate us, threaten us. Somebody say, what are you talking about? The Bible says in Job 36, 11, he said, if they will serve me and obey me, they will live their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Look at it. Read. 1, 2, go. If they
and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures.
Every day in prosperity and all your years in pleasures. That is the God we serve. Serving God with pleasures and days in prosperity. My God, what a God we serve. Hallelujah. My God, I love him. Look at Job 22. Look at Job 22. 22 to 24. Job 22, 22 to 24, quickly. 22.
Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth.
From his mouth.
And lay up his words in thine heart.
In thy heart. Same scriptures we have gone. Go through.
If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust.
Then shalt thou lay up gold as what? Dust.
And the gold of Ophir at the stones of the brooks.
Now, go to 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Let me download with that.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly.
Do you know what the word, if you look at Greek, do you know that word sparingly, what it means? He who sows little shall reap little. And that word sparingly also means it will come back slowly. Do you hear what I said? So it's not little return, but slow return. And then look at the next one.
And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
That word bountifully is not just bountifully as you see it. It also means quick return. Quick. Plenty and quick. Little and slow. And yet there are people sitting in church whose delight in giving little to the church, they call it collection. Collection. There's nothing like collection. It's seed. It is your seed that determines your harvest. And the reason why some people, they don't sow as they ought to sow, is because of your religious background, where they've come from. They call it collection. That's why you are always giving and you don't receive. Because you never give to accelerate your harvest.
In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good.
You know what it means? It means that there is a particular seed or giving that would trigger the return or the harvest of past givings. So he said, in the morning sow, in the evening too sow. Don't withhold it. Because you don't know which of the seed, whether both or the morning or the evening one, would trigger the harvest of past givings. So never said I've given already. So you withhold, you hoard it, you hold it back, you sit on it. Stand on your feet, put Jeremiah 20 and 11 on the screen. And I want everybody to declare Jeremiah 20 and 11. Lift up your right hand. It's an allegiance you are pledging. You are making a confession before God. Lift up your right hand. And I want you to say it with an attitude. And stop all this gentle thing. Stop all this your gentle, cool Christianity life. The enemy you are dealing with, the Bible said from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers what? Violent, and the violent take it by being cool and nice. Take it by what? So you have to stop all this your nice Christianity thing. The enemy is wicked. Very wicked. Very, very wicked. Now may every embargo they place on you that you will never marry and you never break through, let it be lifted in the name of Jesus. I command embargoes by divine authority to be lifted over you and this house. Let it be lifted. Do you know what an embargo is? It's like you have money in your account and you go to the bank to withdraw the money. You sign the check. You know the return. You see the balance in the account. And the bank manager will tell, I'm sorry, because of some technicalities, you can't get your own money. Until these technicalities are resolved, you can't get your money. So the money is in your account. You see it. The check is there. You sign, but you can't take it out. Any embargo they place on you, your finances, your joy, your peace, that you can see your miracle and your harvest, your inheritance, but you can't have it. Let the embargo be removed. Let the embargo be lifted. Let the technicality be resolved by the supreme sacrifice of the blood of Jesus. I declare all embargoes lifted over our inheritance and our harvest. And may every sabotage be arrested and interrupted. I said every sabotage interrupted. Now lift up your right hand. Declare that scripture right now. But the Lord is with me as one mighty and terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten.